Exodus chapter 4. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. In other words, Moses said, in essence, God, you are wrong. I know you've told me that you're going to deliver us. I know you have promised us ultimate success, and we're even going to plunder the Egyptians according to your word, but you know I've got a feeling that you're wrong. Verse 2, And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. What's that thing you have in your hand, Moses? A stick. It's just a stick. It's a dead piece of wood. God wants Moses to take note of that dead piece of wood that is in his hand. Verse 3. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. When he obeyed God, that dead piece of wood came to life. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it. Take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. Moses was afraid to follow God's command and go to Egypt. And maybe he was afraid to obey God's command and pick up that serpent as well. But he did it anyway. And when he did, everything was just fine. It once again became a rod. You see where this is going? Verse 5. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared unto thee. This is the sign that you will give them, which proves that I have sent you. Verse 6, And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Moses again obeys God, and again, something frightful, leprosy, is the result. 7. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And, behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. He obeys God again, and once again, God corrected a bad situation. God is sending Moses a message here. Obey me, even when you're afraid, and everything's going to be okay. Verse 8, And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. These two signs should convince the Israelites that God was with Moses and that everything would be okay. Because it's going to be kind of intimidating for the religious leaders, the leadership in Israel, to all of a sudden take a stand against Pharaoh, because he hasn't been too nice to them lately. Verse 9. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Now, if the first two signs don't convince the Israelites that Moses has been sent by God, then turning water from the Nile into blood certainly should do the trick. This would be a powerful sign, because the Egyptians worshiped the Nile River. The Nile River was actually one of their gods. So Moses will turn water from the Nile into blood, signifying that the God of Abraham can beat up the God of Egypt, and so it's okay to rebel against Pharaoh. 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Well, evidently, everything God just said and did went right over the head of Moses, because he still doesn't think that God's plan will work. He doesn't think that it'll work because he's not a good enough speaker. So Moses evidently thinks that the success of this entire mission depends on his ability to be eloquent. And since he isn't, it's just never going to work. 11. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? God says, I've designed and I've made your mouth just the way it is. God is aware of Moses' inability to speak well, but he still called him to do this job. That should say something to Moses. I know you can't speak. You think that's stopped me from calling you to do this? Verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. In other words, if you obey me, if you trust me, then I will work through your mouth just as it is. 13. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. In other words, Moses says, please, Lord, would you just send someone else, anyone but me? 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak well. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet thee. And when he sees thee, he will be glad in his heart. No one is perfect. We all sin. But at the very least, God expects us to believe his word. You know, when God says he's going to do something, or when God says something is a particular way, we better believe it, or he's going to become awful angry at us. Don't question God's integrity, whatever you do. It's bad enough that you sin. It's bad enough that I sin. It's bad enough that we don't behave like we should behave. At the very least, obey God. I should say believe God. And don't question the integrity of his word if you really want to make him angry. That'll do it. 15. And thou shalt speak unto him, to Aaron, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. God caters to Moses' lack of faith and says, I'll let Aaron, your brother, help you. And he's bending over backwards to make Moses comfortable. He says, I'll be with your mouth and I'll be with his mouth, which is a reminder that in order to succeed, even Aaron would need God's help. This is a reminder to all of us that little natural talent doesn't hinder God one bit, and much natural talent doesn't help God one bit. It's all about God. Verse 16. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And so God is going to give his word to Moses, and Moses will give his word to his brother Aaron, and then Aaron will speak that word to those who need to hear it. 17. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And of course, the dead piece of wood is useless. It has no power. And consequently, God is saying, that the coming deliverance is going to be all of God's doing. God will deliver the Israelites from the world's first superpower. And notice how he will do it: with a weak, kneed, stuttering prophet and a dead piece of wood. You think it's all God? I think it's all God. 18, and Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren who are in Egypt, and see whether they are yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. Moses did not tell his father-in-law that God spoke to him. Moses evidently is being modest. A lot of people would publish that. Verse 19, And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead who sought thy life. And that should be encouraging. A little more encouragement from God to Moses. And maybe this was the big thing too. Remember, Moses was wanted in Egypt, dead or alive, for killing an Egyptian who was abusing a Hebrew. Of course, now, this was like 40 years earlier, but still, that may have been one of the reasons Moses hesitated to go back. If it was a reason, God took care of it by telling Moses that every single person who wanted him dead is dead themselves. 20. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And so God's assurance that everyone who wanted him dead gave Moses confidence to return to Egypt, and he does. 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. God will indeed most definitely harden Pharaoh's heart, but not until Pharaoh hardens his own heart several times first. And by that time, God is just giving Pharaoh the desires of his heart. 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. In other words, God says, You tell the king of Egypt that he is abusing my child. 23. And I say unto thee, This is God speaking to Pharaoh. This is what he's going to say. Let my son go that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. God is being gracious to the king of Egypt by giving him a chance to repent before he punishes. But if he doesn't repent, if he doesn't quit abusing God's children, then God will kill his children, and their blood will be on Pharaoh's hands. 24. And it came to pass, by the way, in the inn, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. God sought to kill Moses on the way to Egypt. You say, well, where did this come from? Why did this happen? What in the world is going on here? All of a sudden, God is trying to kill Moses? Yes. And you're going to find out why in a second. Verse 25, Then Zipporah, remember that's Moses' wife, took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. God let Moses go. Then she said, A bloody husband thou art, because of the circumcision. Moses was in trouble with God because he neglected to circumcise his son. Circumcision was a sign of God's covenant with his people, and a failure to do that under the Old Testament law amounted to a rejection of God. So Moses needed to repent of all his sins before he could be used by God effectively, and that's what this is about. 27. And the Lord said to Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. And they must have been thrilled to see each other because they are reunited after 80 years. Verse 28, and Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. So Moses tells Aaron that he's been called by God to deliver the Israelites, and that Aaron has been called to be his assistant. So God, things are happening. God is on the move. 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. So they have to get the Israelite leadership up to date on God's plan. 30. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. So he spoke the word of God, and he did the miracles to validate it. 31. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. The Israelites are thrilled that God's time has arrived to rescue them from a horrible existence. They are grateful, and they show their gratitude by worshiping the Lord. And of course, God is always worthy of our worship through good times and bad. He's worthy of our worship because of who he is and what he's like. But worship is also a way for us to say thank you, to let the Lord know that we appreciate him. And that's what we see right here.